Isn't today great? Today is such a great day. Everything is so great.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We got some wonderful people for you.
All you mommies and daddies out there who complain to the radio station, I got something to say to you.
And the first thing you've got to do is say the call letters properly. Okay?
It's an incredible metamorphosis of love and emotion and sensitivity and tenderness and fun and joy and happiness.
Did you know that this show represents health and hope?
Yeah, it's a great day to pass the tinfoil hat. Welcome aboard the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are you? You asked for it, you got it. More weekday shows. Here we go. We tackle the craziness and the cultural cacophony, those crazy COVID conspiracy theories. Uh-oh, they could kill you. Got to be careful. Take it all on. Great music to bolster our spirits, inspiration, too, and all of that here for each other as we battle our way through the crisis. Indeed we are. Hope you're doing okay. The number in motion, 347-857-4505. Oh, yeah, we're listening live on Wednesday, May 20th. It's 12 noon out west, 2 p.m. Central, 3 o'clock here in the east. Twitter is 24/7 live. We're on podcast, jumping at AB Writes. And if you're taking along for that live ride, more and more folks are doing it, and we love it when you play with us in real time. The Facebook page and the PopNet chat box are also available, so have at us the way that works best for you. The talented TCS crew are helming things for us, Trudy and Aurora in the booth, and Mel at headquarters. Show brought to you in part by Audiophile, Music Books Podcast. Go ahead, caress your ears with everything you want to hear from Audiophile. Also by Dunkin'. The universe still runs on Dunkin', now with their contactless ordering. Download their app today. Do it safely. Get your favorites. The universe runs on Dunkin', and by our pals at PopNet. Arts, culture, conversation, on air, online, up and running 24/7. Yes, they do indeed feature select editions of the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show and those robust roundtables. So lots to buzz about and talk about, huh? For what it's worth, let's kick things open with Billy Porter on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. Welcome aboard.
Something happening here, but it is, ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. From being
and all that. Cause the man in the tinfoil hat is tweeting like a teenage girl. He put the Pluto in Plutocrat, but it's gonna be a
What do you say to Americans who are watching you right now who are scared?
I say that you're a terrible reporter. That's what I say.
What do you say to the American people who are confronting this new reality?
This is bigger than any one of us. This is calls for a national rallying to everybody move together.
I think it's a very nasty question, and I think it's a very bad signal that you're putting out to the American people. The American people are looking for answers, and they're looking for hope. And you're doing sensationalism.
You know, I laid out in detail what I would do if were I president today. And go to JoeBiden.com.
And the same with NBC and Comcast. I call it Comcast.
First of all, I have to take care of those who in fact are exposed or likely to be exposed to the virus. And that means we have to do testing.
That's really bad reporting. And you ought to get back to reporting instead of sensationalism.
Secondly, I would make sure that every state in the union had at least 10 places where they had drive-through testing arrangements.
Let's see if it works. It might and it might not.
This is an all-hands-on-deck. This is, as someone said, maybe it was you, Jake, at the outset. This is bigger than any individual. This is bigger than yourself. This is about America. This is about the world. This is about how we bring people together and make the kind of sacrifices we need to make to get this done.
I happen to feel good about it, but who knows? I've been right a lot.
talented Jeff Conner and the Conner Party on the Amy Beth Arcuri Show, having some fun with Bob Dylan. And the COVID crisis, everybody must stay home. Lots of folks apprehensive about the reopening efforts, and they're all out there, regardless of where you live, at least in small increments. Where we are, we're still pretty much in lockdown, but some things are gradually starting to reopen and will in the next couple of weeks, and a lot of folks are nervous about it. How about you? Twitter, AB Writes, phone line 347-857-4505, should you be joining us for the live Wednesday, May 20th, arrive. Facebook page, PopNet chat box available as well. Also some great tunes from Steely Dan and Dr. Wu. That one, a wink and a nod to Benji. The man in the tinfoil hat, Donald Fagen, and Todd Rundgren having some fun with the Trump campaign about 5 years ago now. It feels like 50, doesn't it? Boy, we've all gotten so much older. Speaking of songs that got older but resonate still today, for what it's worth, Billy Porter putting his 2020 signature on that Buffalo Springfield classic from the 60s. Staples had a great version in the 70s, and on, it still resonates oh so much. Also, Biden v. Trump, their comments in a montage of how they would handle the COVID crisis. Unfortunately, the guy that is irresponsible and crass, he's the current occupant of the White House. Can we do something about that? We'll talk about it, including our unofficial unscientific survey on the Biden VP stakes. Who do you think he should pick as his VP? Weigh in. Twitter, AB Writes. There's a link on the Facebook page, PopNet chat box as well. Just weigh in, kind of an unscientific survey, as we like to do to get things started. I'll have some comments about that as we go. And, you know, Trump is crazy. We got these COVID conspiracy theories running rampant, and the right-wing media is fueling this on Fox News. They've got apparently Laura Ingraham, who should know better, and I will call her out on this. This is a woman who's not stupid. She's a Dartmouth graduate. She's a UVA law school graduate. She's not stupid. She's just craven and cynical, and she's using her platform to spew misinformation, and some of it could be deadly and could cause people some harm. And one of it is Donald Trump, who has said the other day off the cuff that he's taking hydrochloroquine, which has been, it's a malaria drug. It's been around for 40-something years for that purpose. It's used for treat lupus and possibly rheumatoid arthritis. He's been touting it for a long time as a possible cure or treatment for COVID-19 and as a prophylactic. Some people say that some people are taking it in a trial setting. He should not be taking it, but he claims he's taking it. Now, I'm not sure if he really is taking it, because he is a prolific, if not pathological, liar. We know that. He might just be doing it as a distraction. But whether he's taking it or not taking it, announcing it is irresponsible, because it could be deadly for people. And he, in fact, shouldn't be taking it, considering he's got underlying issues with his heart, and the side effects of this could hurt that. And he's older. He's pushing 75. He's, as Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi says, his age group and his weight group, because he's morbidly obese. Of course, he swatted away those comments. He really, I'm sure, was smarted by them, to say the least. But because when he looks in the mirror, he sees a 35-year-old svelte Adonis. Also crazy. But listen. It's he could do what he wants. He could say he's taking it. He could be taking it. He claims the White House doctor, they discussed it. He didn't say he prescribed it. He said they discussed it. He asked about it and discussed it. The doctor did say a letter that kind of said he discussed it. He didn't say whether he prescribed it. But the point is, it doesn't make sense for him to take it, and most folks would agree. But it's irresponsible for me to be talking about it, because other people will be encouraged to do it, and they could hurt themselves and put themselves at risk. Credit goes out to Neil Cavuto on Fox News, who himself has had some health issues, and said, this is dangerous, don't you take it, the side effects are too deadly. I wonder if his days are numbered. But the nighttime primetime folks like Tucker Carlson, Hannity, and Ingram are all aboard, and they're having doctors who are prescribing the idea of opening up things, opening up earlier than should be, even though the CDC, which they're maligning, and they're maligning the World Health Organization. These are organizations that, well, certainly the CDC, that Trump is in charge of, and Trump put out, sanctioned the guidelines the CDC put out, but then, of course, is taking it back because it's not opening up fast enough in some places. It's kind of scary, and a lot of folks are nervous. And my comment is, you should do what you feel comfortable with. I am not going to run out myself. I'm taking precautions when I do go out. I'm trying to practice social distancing. Lovely people that I live around, a lot of them are not doing it. And a lot of people aren't wearing masks. And I fear that as the summer comes upon us and it becomes warmer and warmer, folks are not going to wear masks. So stay, you know, I'm going to just get in touch with my inner Greta Garbo. I mean, you have to do what's comfortable for you, because I think we're going to see another spike in the fall. They're talking about opening up colleges. NYU said they're going to open up. NYU in New York City. I don't know how many, if I had a kid going to NYU, if I'd want them to go in the fall. We'll see how they can do it. I know we have to get on with life, but we have to do it carefully and smartly, and it's you know, listen to your governors, listen to your mayors, listen to the medical experts, and listen to yourself and know yourself and know your limits, know your concerns, be reasonable about it, and we'll see what happens. But Donald Trump is very, very cavalier, and he's being bolstered by the cynical, craven, right-wing media, and a lot of these people are going to have a lot to answer for. We have 92,000-plus people that are already dead from this disease. To call it a hoax, as Eric Trump did on the Jeanine Pirro show over the weekend, is crazy. He said, come, it'll just, the Democrats are cooking this up so that it will prevent Daddy from having his 50,000-people rallies. And come November after the election, it will suddenly disappear, again with the magical thinking. Well, it's not disappearing. This can't be a hoax. This can't be an Alex Jones hoax. What, do we get all these doctors and people to pretend they're dead? It makes no sense. It's crazy. It's craven. It's cynical. And unfortunately, I think it could put people at risk. What say you? Twitter, AB Rides, phone line 347-857-4505. Facebook page, PopNet chat box open too. Andy on Twitter says, funny how Donald Trump no longer vomits out Hunter Biden because it was just another failed bullshit conspiracy, just like Obamagate, and he is, the breaking news is he's scared shitless, he's losing all the swing states. Andy, don't get cocky, here we go with the poll addiction. The media has this poll addiction. One poll says one thing, one poll says another. I mean, it's intriguing, they're conversation starters, etc., but I'm urging you to be careful. We don't want to fall into complacency like we did in 2016. Hillary Clinton, remember she was going to win a landslide? She was going to North Carolina, Arizona, they were all in play. Remember that? It didn't work out so well. We have to keep the momentum going. We have to have turnout, and we can't fall into complacency. That's my take on this, which brings me to the Joe Biden VP stakes. Jonathan Capehart had an intriguing editorial over the weekend about how it's time to pick a black woman as the VP. I tend to agree with it because we have to have momentum if you can find someone who's qualified. And he put out four people who are very qualified, one of which I think is more qualified than the others, but I would be happy with any of those. There are other people in the mix. You know, he's already said he's committed to have a woman. Well, there are plenty of men that are qualified, too. So you could say, all things being equal, pick the person you're comfortable with. Well, that's what Hillary Clinton did. If Hillary Clinton had picked Cory Booker instead of Tim Kaine, we might not be in this disaster today. I'm just saying. Turnout matters. Excitement matters. Momentum matters. And a black woman, if she's qualified, would be the best choice, in my opinion. I agree with Jonathan Capehart on that. He laid out four possibilities: Kamala Harris, Val Demings, Susan Rice, and Stacey Abrams. Of those four, I think I would pick Kamala Harris. I think she's the one who's probably the most qualified of those four, but I would be okay with any of them. What's your take? Twitter, AB Rice, phone line 347-857-4505, Facebook page too. We're asking who should Joe Biden pick as his running mate. Steve says Klobuchar. Julie says, yeah, she's Minnesota and awesome. I would say, you know, you don't need Klobuchar to win the Midwest. You shouldn't. I think Joe Biden can do that by himself. Whitmore is in play, I understand. There was an article today that said that she has had some early talks with the Biden campaign. Again, these are great ladies. I don't know that they're going to bring out the minority vote, frankly, and gin up the Obama coalition, and we need that. We need momentum, and we need a big turnout to get that big win for the presidency and hopefully the Senate, et cetera, and down ballot. So we'll see. How we go. Yolanda says Elizabeth Warren or Amy Klobuchar. Jonathan says Harris, not because some of these other women aren't great, but for other reasons. I hear you. I'm kind of on the same there. Paul says Santa Claus. maybe Mrs. Claus, because he already said he's going to pick a woman. Kamala Harris says Deanne, I'm sorry. Susan Rice says Sarah. Meg says Harris. Joe says Senator Snow. Is that Olympia Snow, who retired from the Senate? I'm not sure. And he says he will make the right choice just as Obama did. You know who would be a great choice? Michelle Obama, that's for sure. But she says she's not interested. All right, weigh in. Twitter, AB Rides, phone line 347-857-4505, Facebook page, PopNet chat box. Who do you think should be the VP pick? And whoever it is, of course, will be better than the one that we already have, which is Pence, who's the toady for Trump. And anything else on Trump's mind these days, taking his cues. He won't wear a mask, even though they told him to wear a mask at the Ford plant. He doesn't like the way he looks in a mask. It shows weakness or something. I don't get it. But maybe once he finds a conspiracy theory, once he finds a drug, once he finds an excuse for someone else to blame, he just can't let it go. Hopefully he finds the next. Weigh in. It is the Dead Dark Wish. I'm
never to come back. I could not foresee this thing happening to you.
Trump, who wants to paint his wall black because he says it'll be so hot nobody will want to come. Well, who's going to want to come anyway this summer? We got the most COVID cases and the most deaths. I don't think they're Russian. I just don't. The Russians may be Russian, but you know what I'm saying. Never mind. Please, Mr. Postman, for candy from the Marvelettes, get those mail-in ballots in. And baby, now that I found you, I can't let you go when it comes to anything from hamburgers to conspiracy theories. The toddler-in-chief just can't let it go. The grifter-in-chief. And anytime he mentions Hunter Biden, they want to resurrect that whole thing again with Lindsey Graham and company in the Senate. Don't forget to mention that Donald Trump was impeached. People forget it. Impeachment feels like it was 50 years ago with all the chaos that swirls around this guy. It's like Pigpen. You know, the swirling of chaos just around him like a cloud. It's crazy. But impeachment is forever. So anytime you bring up Hunter Biden and Burisma, which is that whole bogus claims that were circulating, that led to his involvement with the Ukraine and the whole impeachment deal. Mention that. We got to keep mentioning these things. Stay vigilant on the Democratic side and do the right thing when it comes to the VP stakes. We're trying to figure out an unofficial, unscientific survey here. Who do you think Joe Biden should pick as his VP? Twitter, AB Writes, phone line 347-857-4505. If you're playing with us live in real time on Wednesday, May 20th, you also have the Facebook page and the Potnet chat box. A lot of folks chiming in. Rick says, Harris. Sookie says Harris. John says anybody but Stacey Abrams. And Jim says, in response to John, so you take Ivanka over Stacey Abrams? I don't think Biden will pick Ivanka, that's for sure. What's your take? Twitter, AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505, Facebook page, pop in the chat box. I like you guys. I love playing with you. It's a lot of fun in real time, for sure. So here's the deal. Jonathan Capehorn had that very intriguing editorial. We talked about the op-ed piece in the Washington Post about why it's time and necessary, really, to pick a black woman running mate. He made a good case, and a lot of folks are looking at it. Take a peek at that article. I think we posted it on social media the other day. Days blend together. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, but we'll do it again for you. But here's a comment from Capehart himself. He says, Dems can't win Michigan if they don't turn out Detroit, which, by the way, is 78.6% black. And that did have a downturn. There was a downturn in 2016 with the black women. Black women voted for Hillary overwhelmingly, but unfortunately not as many voted in 2016 as voted in 2012. We can talk about various reasons, but the enthusiasm is one of them. And this would help the enthusiasm gap for sure. They can't win Wisconsin if they don't turn out Milwaukee, which is 38.8% black. Dems can't win the White House if black voters don't show up, period. And that's exactly what happened in 2016. I'm with you, Jonathan. I hear you. And that is an intriguing case. So, you know, when people say to me, well, you don't want to just check off boxes, they've been checking off boxes for VP forever. It just used to be white guys who happen to live in a different place or whatever. And it also, they don't have to like each other either. It wouldn't be nice if they do, and I think Biden should like whomever he picks. But remember, Kennedy hated Johnson. He needed him, though, for the Senate. He needed him for Texas, and he got it. Reagan and Bush didn't get along. Remember, Bush was the one who labeled Reagan's economic policy voodoo economics. Bush had to quickly become, by the way, instantly right-to-lifer overnight, even though Pappy Bush, George H.W. Bush, and his wife Barbara were big supporters of Planned Parenthood in Texas, because back in those days, it wasn't a foregone conclusion. Jerry Falwell in 1980 with Reagan kind of infiltrated the Republican Party and made them all more right-wing than they are, and became right-wing over the years. But he needed Bush, they needed that coalition, and they got it. So this often happens. So, you know, to talk about it has to be lovey-dovey all the time is not really true, and checking off boxes is often the case. So this time we're checking off a box. Biden has vowed to make it a woman because it's time, and we can make the case that it should be a black woman because it is time for that as well. And again, I'm saying if the person is qualified. Now, I wouldn't want to pick somebody who's, you know, pluck somebody out of the air like a Sarah Palin who is obviously unqualified, but pick somebody who is qualified. And I would say that the four choices that he put forth are definitely qualified. So what's your take? Twitter, AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505, and Facebook page, PopNet chat box, also at your service. Okay. Let's see who we have. Where are we going here? Jason says, black women are criminally underrepresented in America, and the perspective of a black woman in the White House would make America better. Bottom line, a black woman is the best person for the VP job. Interesting. Another survey that somebody put out from Joy Reid says Kamala Harris had 52.9% of the vote in that survey. Stacey Abrams was next with 13%. Elizabeth Warren, 28% for Elizabeth Warren, 13% for Stacey Abrams, and Amy Klobuchar, 5.4%. So it's interesting sampling out there who the heck he's going to pick and when he'll pick it. No rush, I guess, but I guess they usually do it in the summer. It's usually before the convention. The convention is slated now for August. It was originally July. There were some rumblings that he'd make the announcement by June, but, you know, you can have some excitement to sort of keep it in the air and keep it under your tinfoil hat, so to speak, until you're ready. Weigh in. It is the Amy Beth Darkley Show. Happy to have you aboard.
I know I'm late.
yourself for immediate disintegration.
Show, I've forgotten 45 for Charlie from Orlando. Thank you so much for dropping in and hanging out with us today. Staple Singers, too. I'll take you there. It is the end of the Thorquay Show. We're talking about Joe Biden and who the heck he should pick for his VP. That's going strong on Twitter at AB Rights. Phone line 347-857-4505 for those joining us for the live Wednesday, May 20th ride. We also have the Facebook page and the PopNet chat box and taking on anything and everything that's on your mind, including Mike Pompeo, who has become the new Scott Pruitt, the Secretary of State. Remember the EPA guy, Scott Pruitt, back in the early days of the Trump administration when he was grifting like crazy, so much so that he had to finally resign? Well, Pompeo, who is the Secretary of State, seems to be doing some of the same things. They just fired the Inspector General in charge of overseeing the State Department because Pompeo and his wife were using an assistant to run errands for them, apparently, and also he approved sale of firearms without Congress's approval to Saudi Arabia. So a lot of no-nos, but now something just came out that Pompeo and his wife Susan, until recently, until the COVID situation, were hosting these things called the Madison Dinners on the taxpayers' dime. They would set fright wingers and business leaders to dinners where he's trying to build up his Rolodex, apparently, because this guy wants to be president after the Trump grifting machine leaves town. Exchange one for the other. It is just crazy. There's an article on NBC.com, which we posted for you on social media. Take a look at that. But really some outrageous stuff indeed. So all we can say is, how's that draining the swamp thing? Remember when his griftness, the impeached president, ran on, I'm going to drain the swamp? Well, all he did was repopulate the swamp with swampier creatures. That's all we can say. And if people don't wake up to this, as Howard Stern, who lambasted the Trump's ardent supporters last week by saying, "I hate you people because Trump hates you and you don't even know it. The people who love him the most, Trump hates the most." I mean, that's just one of the paradox of Trump's existence. He wants to be in with the elites. He'll never be in with the elites. And the slobs that love him, deplorables, so-called deplorables, he deplores them. That's the truth. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about you. He just wants the vote. And that's really true. I don't want to be cynical about it, but it's true. So wake up to it, kids. Wake up. It is the end of the Darkwing Show. Wake up to us. Twitter, A.B. Wright, phone line 347-857-4505, Facebook page, BobNet chat box open too for the Wednesday, May 20th show. So wake up to us. That's my old days when I did morning radio. Can't imagine doing that again, but it was one of those things. You had to be there, and I was there, sort of, or I slept through it anyway. Crazy. Hey, one thing that will help you, I know a lot of folks are anxious. I do. I hear it all the time in my other life in counseling and coaching and just talking to people in other radio shows and around the country. On social media, et cetera, people are nervous and anxious about the reopening, regardless of where you stand politically, because as I said, this should not be a political thing. It really shouldn't. But I know folks are anxious, and one thing to do to assuage your anxiety is dip into the creative well. I really think that helps a lot of folks. And if the Inspiration to Action Challenge has helped you, I am so gratified when it does, because it helps people reconnect with their inner artist, regardless of what the results are and whatever your medium might be. So I do appreciate that. And I do want to send out a shout-out to Charlie, who is in Orlando. We mentioned him before. He had his song on, and he also wrote in to say that he's been in the challenge for a while. I love your show, he says. It inspires me. It calms me down. Thanks for doing it. And I also love the challenge because it helped me reconnect in a way that helps me put things in perspective. I'm doing poetry and journaling, and thank you so much. Well, thank you, Charlie. Appreciate it. I love doing the show, too, because it helps me connect with you, all these folks, and energizes me, too. So it's a mutual admiration society, if you know what I mean. Inspiration to Action, as it helps you, because I'd love to give you a shout-out. You deserve it. You're also helping other folks get spurred on, or you need a little creative kick in the keister. Let's start a creativity coaching counseling conversation. First one is always on me. Reach out via the website. It's AmyBethArkawy, ArkAwy.com. Easy access via the Twitter feed. While you're there, chime in with your guest suggestions, Big Story Forgotten 45 requests, and check out my stories. The Eliza Gordon Mystery, some other goodies are up for grabs. One-stop shopping, minus the shoes and the groceries. Creativity lives, and the great music of the late, great Little Richard lives on, too. Here's a great version from Bruce Springsteen of one of his classics.
I want you to do your little will. go, go. Have time for Saturday night. Now I'm feeling fine. I'm gonna rock it up. I'm gonna rip it up. I'm gonna take it out. Go ball it up. I'm gonna rock it up. And ball tonight. Got me a date and I won't be late. Pick her up in my 88. And I have a ball. I'm gonna rock it up. I'm gonna rip it up. I'm gonna take it up. Gonna ball it up. I'm gonna rock it up and ball tonight. Along about 10, I'll be flying high. Walk on out unto the sky. But I don't care if I spend my dough. For the night, I'm gonna be one half a soul. I'm gonna rock it up.
Show and Springsteen doing Little Richard's classic Lucille Live. Music does bolster the spirits, doesn't it? Makes me feel good for sure. What else makes me feel good is these great lively exchanges. Hey, great for a Wednesday afternoon show. I guess Trudy's onto something. We should do more of these. Appreciate it when you play with us in real time. Really enjoy it. One final time around the social media horn we go before we sashay out of here. On the Biden pick, he says on Twitter, of all the awful takes on the Biden VP situation, the worst is that Klobuchar will actually help throughout the upper Midwest. Remember, she finished fifth in Iowa, the Iowa Democratic caucus. That's the worst ever for a candidate from a neighboring state. Klobuchar don't travel well. Intriguing, for sure. Phil says, Harris all the way. Yes, I think we need some color on the ticket and excitement. I think that'll do it. All right. We'll see how that all plays out. We have somebody else on Facebook here. No, I don't know. Actually, we do. No, where am I going? Oh, back to Twitter. I'm sorry. EJ says it's great that Michigan's Secretary of State tweeted right back at Trump to tell him that, number one, his claim that Michigan sent out 7.7 million ballots is false, and two, that sending out absentee ballot applications is what her GOP colleagues are doing, too. There's nothing wrong with it. It's legal. It's been done in every state for years and years, I think since the beginning of time, and it's, you know, par for the course in many states. I just filled out my application here in New York, so get used to it and get over it. Trumps, because it's going to happen. That's just the way it is. Mail-in voting, I'm going to keep pushing for it. We need it, and we don't know where the heck we're going to be come November. That's for sure. Hey, thank you so much for tagging along for this ride in real time. Don't forget, all the shows are archived for podcasts. Follow us wherever you get your podcasts, and it's so great. TCS crew, thank you so much. Trudy and Aurora in the booth, MLA headquarters. Reach out via social media connections, Facebook. You can friend me there. You can also follow us on Twitter. I am at AB Writes. Our producer, Trudy Hart, is at Radio Trudy. So thank you so much. Don't forget to drive safe, play nice, dream big, and come back and see us, won't you? Love it when you do, here on the Amy Beth Arquay Show. In the meantime, hang in there and put a little love in your heart. We'll leave you with Annie Lennox and Al Green. Take care. I love you all.
Please don't let Back off, big man. I may work with the chicks, but not with me.